Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra, Pei Aleph, Baba Basra, 81a, pagination is 161. Starting from the third line on the page, Masnisin, the new Mishnah. Hakona Shnei Ilanos B'Sochseda Chaveru, a person who buys two trees within the field of his friend. We've encountered this concept a number of times. The rule is, hareze lo kana karka, if it's only two trees that he bought, then he does not get land. He's not entitled to the land. And the owner of the land remains the owner of the entire field. This person who owns the trees is entitled to reap the fruit of the trees while the trees are alive. Once they die, he does not have rights to replant. Says the Mishnah, skipping a line, lo yishfe. If the tree, just two trees, so if one of these trees starts sending out branches that start interfering with the field, the owner of the field does not have the right to trim these trees for his benefit, to protect his land, because the owner of the trees never bought land. So his very existence is under the working assumption that the owner of the field will be tolerant of his presence. In the words of Rashbam, Hare shibad lo sodeyu litzorech ve'ilanos kol tzorkon. He obligated his field for purposes of these trees, whatever's necessary. And therefore, as they grow bigger in the land and taking up more space, he has no choice. He's not allowed to trim them. V'ha'olam min ha'geza shalo, whatever branches come out of the trunk, when they get trimmed, the buyer, the owner of the tree, is allowed to keep them. Or min ha'sharoshim, but what comes out from the roots, below the ground level, shabalakarka, those belong to the owner of the land because it's emanating from the land. Vimesu in lo karka, and if and when these trees die, the owner of the trees is not entitled to any land, the place which they took up. He's not entitled to replant, and he's not entitled to that location. He was entitled to the trees, because that's what he bought. However, kana shlosha, if he bought three trees, then three trees is already given the status of a field of sorts. Kana karka, he acquires a certain amount of land together with the trees, and the result, besides the land issues, but it's a very fundamental difference in what his relationship is to the owner of the field. Number one, higdilu yishfe. If the trees become too big and they go out of the land that was allotted to these three trees, then the owner of the field is allowed to trim them. V'ha'ola min ha'geza u'min ha'sharoshim shalo, whether the branches are coming from the trunk or from the roots, either way, they will belong to the buyer of the tree. V'imesu yesh lo karka, and if the tree dies, then he's entitled to the land and is entitled to replant. It's a fundamentally different relationship than the one that we had when he only had two trees. The Gemara introduces the ramifications regarding Bikurim. Bikurim is the first fruit. They're brought to Yerushalayim by the farmer as an act of thanksgiving. Tanan Hosam we learnt, Hakona Shnei Ilanos Pesoch Shel Chaveru, if a person bought two trees in the field of his friend, maybe he has to bring Bikurim ve'eno kori, but he doesn't read the psukim, which include a statement in the Torah regarding that mitzvah, shatovi me'artzecha, that you're going to bring it from your land, admoscha, your land. And this is not his land. He has the trees, but he doesn't have the land. And therefore he brings the Bikurim, but he does not say the Psukim of Thanksgiving. So the obvious question is, if the mitzvah doesn't apply to him, so then he shouldn't have to bring the bikurim. If the mitzvah does apply to him, he should bring the bikurim, and he should be able to say the statements. So on Amud Beis, we find out on the fifth line, V'rabbanan, b'shnei ilanos sefukim misapke luhu, that it's a case of doubt whether or not he owns the land. And therefore, they're kind of straddling the fence. They're saying he should bring the bikurim, but he should not say the words. On the bottom lines, mevi ve'eno kore, he brings the bikurim, but he doesn't say the psukim. There's such a possibility, there's such a solution regarding bikurim. So the Gemara wonders on the next daf, on the third line, michti, let's see, pesuke ninhu, all it is psukim, likri, let him read the psukim, what's the big deal? And we have this concept, let's say, by Shema. Let's say a person is not sure if he recited Shema, or he's not sure if he's going to make Zman Kriya Shema or not. So he says the Shema, and he makes a condition. If it's the mitzvah, so it's the mitzvah. If it's just reading, so then it's Kikori B'Torah. Like I'm learning, I'm reading from the Torah. Why can't a person simply say the words of Bikurim, even if he doesn't have the mitzvah? Why is it that they ruled Mevi ve'eno kore, that he should bring but not say the words? Amalei, and he answered, Mishum demechze kishikra, because it sounds, it looks like a lie. And Rashbam explains that when you're standing in front of Hashem, you're not allowed to say these words as if, making believe that you're doing the mitzvah. If a person is reading Torah, obviously, Shnai Mikra Vechatargum, whatever, we say those psukim. But to go ahead and say them in the Beis HaMikdash, in a presentation that appears to be a Mevi Bikurim, that he's not allowed to do.